Simisola by Ruth Rendell. Read by Christopher Ravenscroft. There were four people besides himself in the waiting room, but none of them looked ill. The olive-skinned blonde in the designer tracksuit bloomed with health. Her body all muscles, her hands all golden tendons, apart from the geranium nails and the nicotine stains on the right forefinger. She had changed her seat when a child of two arrived with its mother and homed to the chair next to hers. Now, the blonde woman in the tracksuit was as far away as she could get. Two seats from himself, and three from the very old man who sat with his knees together, his hands clutching his checked cap in his lap, and his eyes on the board where the doctor's names were printed. Each of the GPs had a light above his or her name, and a hook underneath it on which coloured rings hung. A red light and rings for Dr. Moss, green for Dr. Akandi, blue for Dr. Wolfe. The old man had been given a red ring, Wexford noticed, the child's mother a blue one, which was exactly what he would have expected, the preference for the senior man in one case, the woman in the other. The woman in the tracksuit hadn't got a ring at all. She either didn't know you were supposed to announce yourself at reception or couldn't be bothered. Wexford wondered why she wasn't a private patient, with an appointment later in the morning, and therefore not obliged to wait here, fidgeting and impatient. The child, tired of marching back and forth on the seats of the row of chairs, had turned her attention to the magazines on the table and begun tearing off their covers. Who was ill? This little girl, or her overweight, pallid mother? Nobody said a word to hinder the tearing, though the old man glared, and the woman in the tracksuit did the unforgivable, the outrageous thing. She thrust a hand into her crocodile-skin handbag, took out a flat gold case, the function of which would have been a mystery to most people under 30, removed a cigarette and lit it with a gold lighter. Wexford, who had been successfully distracted from his own anxiety, now became positively fascinated. No fewer than three notices on the walls, among the exhortations to use a condom, have children immunized and watch your weight, for bad smoking. What would happen? Was there some system whereby smoke in the waiting room could be detected in reception or in the dispensary? The child's mother reacted, not by the words to the woman in the tracksuit, but by sniffing, giving the little girl a vicious yank with one hand and administering a slap with the other. Screams ensued. The old man began a sorrowful head-shaking. To Wexford's surprise, the smoker turned to him and said without preamble, "I called the doctor, but he refused to come. Isn't that amazing? I was forced to come here myself." Wexford said something about GPs no longer making house calls, except in cases of serious illness. How would he know it wasn't serious if he didn't come? She must have correctly interpreted Wexford's disbelieving look. "Oh, it's not me," she said, and incredibly, "it's one of the servants." He longed to know more, but the chance was lost. Two things happened simultaneously. The blue light for Dr. Wolfe came on, and the door opened to admit the practiced nurse. She said crisply, "Please put that cigarette out. Didn't you see the notice?"